Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Moneybox Finance Limited Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Mamta Nera from MUFG Intime India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you to the Q4 and FY25 earnings call of Moneybox Finance Limited. To discuss this quarter's business performance, we have from the management Mr. Mayur Modi, Co-founder, Mr. Deepak Agarwal, Co-founder, Mr. Viral Sheth, Finance Controller. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website and stock exchanges. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to the management for the opening comments, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Deepak Agarwal, and I am delighted to welcome you all to the Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call of Moneybox Finance Limited. Our financial results and investor presentation have been uploaded on the company's website as well as the stock exchanges. I hope you all had a chance to go through them. Joining me on the call today are Mr. Mayur Modi, Co-founder of Moneybox Finance, and Mr. Viral Sheth, our Finance Controller. Before we dive into the details of our performance, I would like to begin by briefly touching upon the broader economic environment. Projected GDP to grow at 6.5% in FY26. On the agricultural front, the outlook remains optimistic. Healthy reservoir levels and a record Rabi crop harvest are expected to sustain momentum in demand. Together, these factors present a balanced and encouraging picture of India's economic journey. The Reserve Bank of India announced a 25 basis point cut in repo rate, bringing it down to 6%. This move is expected to stimulate lending and investment activity, ultimately supporting domestic demand. I further feel that the decrease in repo rate will bode well for us in terms of reducing our cost of borrowing. Now, shifting the focus to the NBFC sector, the central bank's recent liquidity infusion measures and its decision to reduce risk weights for non-banking financial companies will provide boost to the sector and support credit flows. At the same time, the regulatory environment has become more stringent, emphasizing stronger compliance, governance, and risk management frameworks. These reforms are pushing all of us to raise the bar, and in doing so, we are building a more trustworthy and stronger financial ecosystem. At Moneybox Finance Limited, our core mission is to drive financial inclusion by serving the underserved population. Despite ongoing macroeconomic uncertainty, we remain focused on strengthening our risk management practices, increasing the share of secured lending, and reducing slippages. We have expanded our branch network and focusing on enhancing collection efficiencies and maintaining robust credit underwriting standards, all of which are critical to ensuring sustainable growth. Now, moving to financial performance of Q4 and FY25, I'm pleased to share that our AUM grew by 27% year-on-year, reaching 927 crores in FY25, up from 730 crores in FY24. Further, in FY25, we maintained a managed book of 232 crores. Madhya Pradesh is the highest contributor to our portfolio in FY25. This reflects the steady and consistent growth in our business. On the disbursement front, our cumulative disbursement as of Q4 25 has reached 1,800 crores. For the full year, disbursement stood at 595 crores, a marginal decrease of 11% year-on-year compared to 665 crores in FY24. As we have said earlier in our earlier earnings calls, AUM grew by 27%, but yes, definitely, it is not as per our expected numbers at the beginning of the year. while we are repeating this concern, but it will bode well that, you know, starting from the year, you know, initially because of lesser spending due to elections by the government and, you know, controlling the deficit, and then heat waves followed by floods in different areas, which increased delinquency levels and further which led to leading to RBI tightening the policies, especially for the unsecured lending, increasing the risk weightages, and then followed by MFIN guardrails, which really disturbed the industry and impacted the disbursements across all levels. And you will see that, which is an easier number to quote, that MFI declined by 20% in the last 9 months as an industry from 4.5 lakh crore to 3.6 lakh crore. So, basis that 27% growth is still a reasonable number. Moving forward, our secured lending business continues to gain strong momentum. In FY25, our secured disbursement was almost doubled to 50%, up from 25% in FY24. Our secured loan book now represents approximately 45% of our total AUM as of Q4 FY25, compared to 24% in Q4 FY24, which is a 21% increase in the portfolio. This steady progress puts us firmly on track to reach our target of approximately 65% secured AUM by March 26, reflecting our strategic shift towards building a more resilient and lower risk portfolio. There are significant steps undertaken for secured book. Earlier, just 71 out of 163 branches were allowed to do unsecured business. This number in next few months is changing to 50. So effectively, only 30% of our old branches will be allowed to do unsecured business, and which will lead to strong portfolio shift towards the secured lending. As on March 2025, we have made significant strides in building a truly pan-India presence. Our operations now span 12 states, including an expansion into four new states in South India during Q2 of FY25. This growth reflects the strength and scalability of our tech-enabled phygital operating model. Our branch network has grown considerably from 100 branches in March 2024 to 163 branches as of March 2025. We plan to expand this further to 175 plus branches by March 2026, ensuring deeper penetration and better service delivery across regions. On the partnership front, we now have visibility of 500 crores per annum through lending collaboration, including business correspondence and co-lending model arrangements. In terms of funding, we continue to benefit from low cost and diversified sources with a lender base of 33, including 12 leading banks. Now, moving to total income, which grew strongly by 56% year on year, reaching 199 crores in FY25, up from 128 crores in FY24. For Q4 FY25, total income stood at 52 crores, reflecting a year on year growth of 23%. In FY25, our net interest income also witnessed healthy growth, rising by 60% to 136 crores, compared to 85 crores in FY24. Talking about our net interest margin, they have remained at around 16.23 for this quarter. In terms of cost efficiency, our operating expenses as percentage of AUM remained at 12.8% in FY25. This includes non-cash expenses like ESOPs as well, compared to 12.7% in FY24. While our declining OPEX trajectory temporarily paused, primarily due to branch expansion and lower than expected AUM growth. As I have mentioned in earlier quarters, reducing operating expenses continues to be a key focus area for us. We are targeting to bring down our OPEX below 10% over the next 2 years, supported by growth in AUM and ongoing efficiency improvements. I would like to again emphasize here that OPEX is very much driven by the amount of AUM you have. Because, for example, every 100 crores of additional AUM, average AUM, gives you almost 12 crore of contribution to cover the OPEX. So the OPEX for this year is really impacted by the low AUM growth last year. Now, coming to our profit after tax for FY25 stood at 1.25 crores as compared to 9.14 crores in FY24. It's largely driven by, one, the AUM could not grow, and almost all the operating profits were eaten up by NPA provisions. So that's what you will see, that largely an impact of movement towards NPA. In terms of returns, our return on average equity stood at 0.6%, while return on average AUM stood at 0.2%. Looking at our yields and spreads, the company yield stood at 28.13%, which is still good for FY25, and our spreads reduced to 15% but remain at a very healthy level. The slight dip in spread reflects the rising share of secured loans, partially balanced by lower borrowing cost. In FY25, our average cost of borrowing stood at 13.1%, while the marginal cost was lower at 12.3%. In fact, for the first 9 months, we borrowed at 12%, which is at par with the best in the industry at this level of rating and AUM level. However, in Q4, we did some large NCD transactions, which made the average cost of borrowing a little higher to 12.3%, but still, it's on a continuous decline mode. This year-on-year decline reflects the benefits of our improved credit rating and growing scale of operations. So COB will continue to decline. During the quarter, we witnessed steady improvement in our collection performance. Our overall collection efficiency, including current and up to 30 days past due, improved to 99.4% in March 2025, which is definitely the best in the industry, up from 97.3% in December 2024. Similarly, collection efficiency for current and up to 90 days past due rose to 98.4% in March, compared to 95.2% in December, again among the best in the industry, highlighting consistent progress in our recovery efforts. That said, our credit cost as percentage of average AUM stood at 3.33% for the quarter, reflecting some pressure from the broader industry-wide stress in the unsecured segment. But as I said earlier, we are continuously improving our collection infrastructure month on month, every month, and this will show up results. This has already started showing up results, especially up to 90 bucket, but recoveries will start take some time. But as we take more and more steps every month, things are improving. Our on-book gross NPA increased to 6.61% in Q4 FY25, up from 5.6% in Q3 FY25. Similarly, our net NPA rose from 3.42% from 2.88%. Our GNPA became elevated in FY26 due to slowdown in rural economy and negligible write-offs. Our provision coverage ratio remains steady at 50%, reflecting our prudent risk management approach. I would like to mention here that as an industry-wise, when we compare to the MFI, it's including the write-off, the number is around 23%-24%. For us, it is around 7%, including write-off. So that's the difference versus when we say that we are not an MFI. But yes, exposure to rural hurted us this year. Now, since inception, the company has successfully raised 270 crores in equity up to March 2025. In FY25, we also achieved our highest NCD raise of 185 crores. In fact, from 23rd February to 23rd of March, in 1 month time, we raised about 165 crores in NCD, which is the highest ever in one single quarter, further strengthening our funding profile. Our net worth grew by 54%, reaching 261 crores as of March 25, up from 169 crores in March 24, driven by the equity fundraise during the year. Net worth will significantly improve this year as well, as 85 crores is pending from the issue of share warrants. Our debt-to-equity ratio stood at 2.44 times, and we maintained a healthy capital adequacy ratio of 29.25%. As we look ahead, We remain committed to building a sustainable business that leverages both technology and deeper customer insight to deliver value to all our stakeholders. We remain watchful of the fast-changing global environment and are well-positioned to ensure rapid deployment of capital, scalability, and maintain cost efficiency. We will continue to uphold robust credit underwriting standards to effectively manage risk and safeguard the quality of our portfolio. Thank you. With this, we can now open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mihir Shah from Riddhi Enterprises. Please proceed.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Mihir.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, sir, for this opportunity. So, sir, my question was like, with the numbers reported this quarter, I think the investor confidence is slightly shaken, and like a lot of our assumptions have been invalidated. Like, you know, we had assumptions in the past, like, you know, agri and allied, dairy and all of those will help us on the unsecured side when the cycle turns and all of that. So could you please help us with some tangible targets on the cost cutting front, credit costs and growth for the upcoming quarters? So that we can continue to maintain our confidence.
Sure. First of all, I think confidence should not be shaken. You know, we have to compare this, you know, with the way industry has reported numbers for this year. I think there is no doubt that last year was one of the most challenging year we have seen in recent times. You know, this is far more, you know, severe than even COVID waves, you know, because it was hit at every angle, especially any lender who has some kind of rural exposure has suffered. And you would see, you know, how the industry, I think numbers are known, you know, how industry has shaped up. But yes, as I agree that, you know, we still maintain a growth in AUM, but I still agree that, you know, it is not as per anyone's expectation. And the same is true for us as well. Going forward, you know, there are many, many steps which we are taking. One is obviously the shift of book towards secured. And in fact, you know, we are today 10% of our book is now above 5 lakh kind of, you know, loans, which is, you know, where we are lending even 15 lakh, 20 lakh, you know, with good MSME customers. So that focus is shifting. That's one part of the area. One is that building a secured book wherein asset quality can be improved. Second, it's a long-term book so that, you know, we will have a higher AUM. We can reduce cost of borrowing. Say, you know, at every level we have scope. Right now, our average COB is 13%, although incremental is at around 12 now. So there is a scope of about minimum 3 to 3.5% reduction over the next 2-3 years. Similarly, there is significant scope in reducing the OPEX. So, you know, once you take a deep dive, you know, in FY21, the OPEX was 25, then 20, then 15, then 12.5. So every year OPEX is reduced. It's just a combination of largely driven by AUM. For every 100 crores you make, you get a 12 crore kind of contribution towards your OPEX. So I think that will also play around. I agree that last year, in terms of numbers, you know, it's a wipeout year. Although there are a lot of activities which has done, you know, we have improved our team levels, we have improved our collection vertical, which is still improving the secured portfolio. So I think multiple steps are taken. And in terms of, as you asked about the AUM target, with lenders, we are at least targeting a 50% growth. In fact, over 50% growth in AUM for the current year. So I hope I have answered all the queries.
Sir, any guidance on the target for the credit cost and OpEx cost cutting?
OpEx, I believe it should be between 11% and 12%. It all depends on how soon we are able to grow our AUM. Our targets would be to remain anywhere between 11% to 12%.
Got it. And on the credit cost?
On the credit cost, see, there will be, although the numbers are improving, the shift to NPA, say, for example, 24 crores moved to NPA in last quarter, as in December quarter. For Q4, it was 18 crores. For Q1, it will again decline. So my guess is that, but given that there is some portfolio which has already moved to NPA, maybe around 3% kind of credit cost we still see for the current year.
Got it. Got it, sir. And
yeah.
So my second question was that, like you mentioned, right, that the secured portfolio is much better when it comes to credit costs and other stuff. So in that case, is it right to assume that currently, like, our unsecured portfolio has completely blown up, because like our GNPA numbers are 6%, right, and 50% is secured. So roughly, like, on an unsecured front, we have a 12% NPA or something like that.
No. It's not 12% NPA. But try to understand, it's not blown up. I mean, see the situation currently that, there were sectors in the rural economy because of, the reasons I mentioned. Even if you have 2-3% kind of moment, see, out of 100 borrowers, if, 3-4 customers go bad, right, you have a higher NPA levels. So that's what has happened. It's not that a full book has blown up. So these customers take time to repay, and then we will go legal, we'll do collection measures, so the money will come. It is still coming. I mean, it's a slow process. So it's not like that even everything is blown up, but yes, there are times when you have to take some changes in the portfolio level. There last year has some exceptional circumstances, and that's what you see across the board. I mean, it's not that, so any lender which had rural exposure last year got some hit, but I think the way we are seeing, the way we have given the numbers of collection efficiency, things are improving now, and these are the same. It's not that I could achieve a 99.4% collection efficiency from only secured book. So both, in fact, initial 5 years, we had 1.5% credit cost when largely it was an unsecured book. So I think last year had some very, very pressing situations which led to this movement towards NPA. So I think take it as a one-off scenario, not something which is a consistent thing.
Got it, sir.
But yes, lessons being learned, we have significant improvement in our collection infrastructure, which I have told even in earlier earning calls. And it continues to improve every month.
Got it, sir. And sir, if you look at the numbers for last quarter, 30 DPA and this quarter, so like roughly if we negate the impact of AUM growth, then most of our 30 DPA is moving to NPA. Whereas like on the write-off front, like we are only taking 50% write-off after 90 days. So if we are not able to like get the 30 DPA collections back, can we expect that we'll get the 50% of the NPA?
No, I think it's not moving like that. I mean, if you have, we have almost minimum 60% collection efficiency in 30 to 60 bucket. It even goes to 70%. And even now, this looks like 60 to 70% collection efficiency in 30 to 60 bucket. And in 60 to 90 bucket also, the lowest we reach is 40%, but largely it is between 50 and 60%. So that's not the case that, anything which moves to 30 plus goes towards NPA. That's not the case.
Because, sir, 8.17% of our 30 plus was, of our portfolio was 30 plus last quarter, and like 6.6% is the gross NPA. this quarter. So that's what I was referring to.
Yeah, but because see, there is a movement. I mean, anything which is coming, if you had, see, what the way we have to see is, there were at some point in time in December, there were like 1600 to 1800 cases flowing towards the next bucket. And, you know, then it came to 1000, then it came to 800. In March, only 450 cases moved to 30 plus. You know, out of the 51,000 customers. So I'm saying that, you know, you see a month-on-month reduction, you know, and anything which is coming from back, you know, which is already in 30, 60, 60, 90, will take some time. But that's what I'm saying, that out of the same portfolio, in December quarter, we had a movement of 24 crores. In March, it was 18. So incrementally, it is coming down. So I'm sure that, you know, once the bucket is improved at X, I mean, the current level, after 2-3 months, you see the impact on the NPA level. So which we have very, very significant focus, and I'm sure you will see the result in Q1 and Q2.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. My last question is like...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Meer. We request you to join the question queue again as we have other participants waiting for their turn.
Sure. I'll just complete this one follow-up. That are we looking at another no-profit year like with 24% yields and like 12% borrowing rate, 11% OPEX and 3% credit cost?
No, not like that. See, you look at it, one is that this is not 24% yield. Our yield is still at 28% plus. So it's not that even with 24% ROE, you have PF of 2.5%. And then you have multiple other sources of income. So one is that yield is at 28 point something percent today, not 24%. And borrowing cost, yes, to 12%. So it's not the case. I mean, there are other sources of income. Even this year, after so much of cost, it was not a zero profit year. You know, you have money every time you give a 2-year to 3-year unsecured loan. It comes for a repeat after a year, and then you again make, you know, money on PF. You make login fees, you make multiple other fees, you know, even that when the top up comes in secured, even then you make, you know, fee income. So it's not that the yield is not 24% in any case.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank you. Ladies and gentlemen,
I would like to say here, Mamta, I would like to say here, you know, just to answer Neil's question. See, we are not, we in terms of our yields, we are very well placed. You know, you see any player, any large player with a 25%. So we are at 20%, but 28%, but even at a 25% yield, it's a very good yield. What you reduce as you grow, you know, one is your cost of borrowing, which is with large player, you will have anywhere between 9 and 10, nothing more than that. So one is you reduce your cost of borrowing. You, with secured portfolio maturing, you will have your OPEX at 6-7-8% max. So that's the way you have to look at that. You know, in the initial stages, you cannot compare it with a large company. In initial stages, it's a build-up stage. So what you gain is from the increase in net worth and increase in portfolio, very high level of growth. But, you know, profit comes in later years. I mean, in terms of exceptional profits, start coming in when you covered your cost. So every 100 crore then, you know, gives you very high profitability. Yes, please go ahead, Mamta.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Mamta Agarwal from ABS Investments. Please proceed.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, since now secured lending accounts for 45% of your AUM, which is like significantly up by 24% in the previous year. So could you elaborate on key drivers behind this? And what market signals or like internal metrics led to you prioritize secured assets? Also, it would be helpful if you can like throw some light on what are your medium to long-term goals for this portfolio?
Okay, so one thing is, you asked that, you know, what is driving. So the main thing is, Mamta, that, you know, we have made all the new branches. So there's the six new states which we entered, Gujarat, Bihar, and the four states in South. They do only secured business. So, you know, this is one driver where we say that, you know, we have to do only secured business. And I'm telling you that there is no single case in these six, only one case actually, in a 30+ bucket in these six states. So one is that we have communicated well that, you know, we want to touch upon a customer which is reasonably well off. So, you know, in terms of business, in terms of stability of business, then, you know, in terms of good, having a good collateral, multiple sources of income. So that's one that, you know, it's an organization drive, you know, which we are making, that even in our states like, you know, Punjab and Haryana, we are starting to raise very, very significant amount, you know, in the secured lending space. So that's what is driving. In terms of our outlook, you know, as we have said earlier also, largely that, you know, next year target for secured is about 65%, and in 2027 it would be 75%+. So it could be around 75%-80%, more likely 80 than 75. So, that's what I have, yeah.
Okay, great, sir. So just one more question. Given the increasing stress being observed in the unsecured lending space across the industry, so what changes have you implemented in your underwriting process to mitigate the potential delinquencies and credit losses? And have there been any changes in your borrower selection criteria, like geographic focus or product mix?
The kind of customers which now we are focusing, I mean, or we are, which are coming, because now we are even giving 15 lakh-20 lakh kind of exposure. So there are a lot of customers which have inventory level of about 1 crore. So I think there are customers who have multiple sources of income, very stable sources of income. So that's one area wherein the customer profile is also changing. With respect to your question related to unsecured segment, I think not just this year, starting last year only, we had made some changes in our underwriting model. So I mean, we have started, you know, taking less and less exposure in with customers who have, like, low level of incomes. So typically, which is an MFI customer, so that's, we are getting away and away from them. So that's one change which has happened.
Okay. Great, great. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sahil from MNS Associates. Please proceed.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir, I have a couple of questions. Sir, the livestock financing currently constitutes approximately 65% of your total AUM, making it the single largest contributor to your portfolio. Could you elaborate on whether you see this segment continuing to grow as a proportion of your overall lending mix?
I think the exposure will reduce in terms of percentage, so it will remain one of the focus areas. But, you know, as we are growing, so, you know, if I tell you in South, you know, with four states, the cattle book is only around 20%. Again, if you see Bihar, the cattle book is very small. So one thing is that proportion will reduce. So maybe, you know, in few years it will come down to 50% of our portfolio, but the quality there also is improving. So although, like, you know, in Gujarat, we have more than 90% of our portfolio is into cattle, but there are always, in each single case, there are multiple sources of income. Although we mentioned that cattle is the main portfolio, but see, we don't do any single case in cattle where there is no other source of income as well. So agri may be one other source, and especially in Gujarat, we seeing that there's a significant other source of income with cattle. So, you know, people will have some shop, you know, some other activity also. So that way, I think, and plus, you know, we are taking many other steps also to improve this portfolio. in terms of app, just to mention, you know, we have made an app, AI app, for cattle identification, which is a unique identification for each cattle. So this will be first in India and maybe first globally. You know, the kind of app we are making to, we have already made and launched in terms of identifying cattle so that there is no repeat cattle we found, to identify the, you know, any disease, the breed of the cattle, the lactation cycle of the cattle. So there are a lot we are doing to, you know, really improve this structure. And you know, this cattle portfolio also gives us, you know, a lot of impact related, you know, advantages. So like, you know, Rabo has given us 75 crore kind of line to build this portfolio, not line as in guarantee. So 3% loss in our cattle portfolio when the cattle number is up to five cattle, there's a 3% loss which is taken by Rabo Foundation. So there are multiple things happening on that direction as well.
Understood, sir.
Just to answer, yes, it will be a key portfolio, but the proportion will reduce over a period of time.
Understood. Understood. Sir, additionally, how are you assessing the current trends in rural demand, especially in the context of monsoon conditions, agricultural income, and credit appetite in your key geographies?
I think it's reasonable. I will not say that it is sharply up, but it is reasonable. The month-on-month situation is improving. So that's one part of it. But as I said, we are now significantly, very significantly in terms of incremental debt, which we are giving, we are getting significantly shift towards non-agri profiles, you know, which could be like where we are opening branches. So earlier, you know, if we have a branch in X location, generally the funding will happen interiors in the rural areas. But now, even in those cities with people, say, having an electronic shop, having an inventory of 1 crore, we are giving them 15 lakh. You know, there are people with, you know, large building material supply. There are larger manufacturers, you know, of various things which have, you know, have asset base of 3 crore-4 crore. You know, we are, I mean, in terms of land and building, maybe not call it 3 crore-4 crore, at least, you know, in the range of 1 crore-2 crore, where we are lending them, you know, 15 to, in some cases, 20 lakhs. So that portfolio is also changing quickly. Although, yes, it doesn't show up in March numbers, or maybe obviously it takes some time to really show up, but things are changing from that perspective.
Okay, sir. Thank you for the detailed responses. All the very best. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Shah from Sumeria Family Office. Please proceed.
Hello. Hi, am I audible?
Hi, Harsh.
Yes, sir.
Please.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question, sir. Sir, my first question was regarding the OpEx guidance that you have given. So, sir, I wanted to understand that in the last year, we have added 63 branches. And in the coming year.
Your voice is breaking, Harsh. You said last year?
Last year, we have added 63 branches.
Right.
In the coming year, our target is to add another 12-15 branches.
Right.
The OpEx guidance that you have given is between 11%-12%. Don't you think that that is more conservative and the OpEx as a percentage of AUM should reduce more?
More conservative, as in you feel the OpEx will be higher than what we are saying? Is it that?
No. I meant the OpEx should be more lower than what you have guided for.
So, Harsh, it actually depends on how soon we are able to, you know, increase the AUM from now. So, you know, OpEx changes with each 100 crore number. So, for example, if the way our calculation goes, if the average AUM for the current year is 1,300 crore, OpEx will be 10%. If average AUM is 1,200 crore, the OpEx will be, so yeah, 11%. And if it is 1,100, it will be 12%. So what I'm trying to say, there's a lot of dependence
on the AUM growth and AUM at a particular level. So it seems easy to say that, you know, there is a company which has a 5,000 crore AUM, has a OpEx of, say, 6% or 7%. But really, if you see the corporate expenses, even at lower level of, say, 1,000 crore AUM, you know, you need all the function. You need a CTO, you need a compliance head senior, you need a senior credit guy. Every position, you know, needs to be filled up, and nothing comes, you know, at a lower price. When you go for a good guy, the pricing is same. Whether you have a 1,000 crore portfolio, whether you have a 5,000 crore portfolio, things don't change much. So, you know, that's where I'm saying that, you know, as AUM, it's a combination of AUM. Last year, if it were not bad, you know, we would have reached 11% by now, you know, even at last year level. So it's just, you know, how soon we are able to pick up the growth levels in terms of AUM.
Right. So if the maximum growth is in the second half of the year, our average AUM may be lower, and because of that, the-
Yeah, because current AUM stands at 937 crore. So the most important thing is how soon we can grow our AUM, which will impact the OpEx level at end of the year.
Right. So-
What I'm saying, you will notice that, you know, when a company reaches 2,000 crore kind of AUM, that's where you know, you really got, you know, OpEx starts coming down. So everything starts falling in place. But other than that, I'm saying that, you know, you see year-on-year, you know, COB is falling, OpEx is falling. I mean, this year was an exception just because of this branch expansion. Anyway, this year we are saying that we are more in a consolidation mode and, you know, trying to optimize the AUM of the existing branches. Because, see, 12 branches opening is nothing at this current level. So current year, the agenda is to, you know, optimize on the people we have.
Right. Right. Okay. And sir, my second question was, so assuming that we get an average yield of 27%, our cost of borrowing is 12%, our OpEx is another 12%, and credit cost is 3%. So the ROA for this coming year should be negligible.
As I said earlier also, this is not a simple calculation. There are other incomes you make, you know, there are PFs, there are repeat PFs, there are foreclosure charges, there are penal charges, there are bounce charges. There are a lot of other things, you know, which impact the profitability numbers.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Nikita Surya from SNK Ventures. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. First being, with ROE and ROA slipping to 0.6% and 0.2%, respectively in FY 2025, how do you plan to revive your return ratios going forward? And, are there any specific financial targets in terms of ROE or ROA you aim to hit by FY 2026 or FY 2027?
So first of all, to, you know, see, the key is to reduce the... So even if this year you see, our initial target for the credit cost was about 7 crore, which actually became 28 crore or 29 crore. So the largest, if that credit cost were not there, we would have made the numbers as per the guidelines, you know, wherein we were targeting a PAT of 20 crore+, for last year, which got impacted because of very high credit cost. So one of the major areas of improvement is to stop fresh NPA. I mean, it will not stop, but to minimize to the highest extent. There will still be some write-off costs there. So one is to, you know, at all levels, to bring down borrowing cost. You know, it may happen that, you know, it may decline to, incremental may decline to even 11%. I don't see it complete non-possibility, given, you know, that repo is coming down, you know, the liquidity levels will be better. But I'm saying we have to target each single factor. The OpEx is on one side, The other side is definitely your borrowing cost. And third is stopping NPA movement to the best level possible. So which is on track, and every month we are improving that. So that's one area of improvement. In terms of guidance, I think soon we should be able to share, we will internally discuss if, we have to give it to the, because, right now we cannot say because it's a listed company. We have to make it at a BSE level. But definitely the target is big, and targets are good, even in terms of, so 27, I think we will have a full recovery as I see the projections. It will be 26 will be the year of recovery where, I see that, on the financials, as I already said, that, 1 year got lost, but this year will be the year of recovery, and 27 would look, very, very significantly better. You should see how a company profitability improves as it scales the business. It's not just true for us. For any company, you see when, it crosses 2,000 crore kind of AUM, the numbers really start, showing very different results.
Okay, sir. Got it. My another question would be, as of March 2025, Madhya Pradesh and Rajasthan remain the highest contributors of your AUM. So given this concentration, what steps are you taking?
No, not MP1.
Okay.
You have Rajasthan hardly had any contribution. Rajasthan actually, AUM came down from the last year. So largely it was led by, Gujarat getting almost 45 crores of AUM, Bihar, some contribution from south states, then MP and UP. So these are the main states, contributing to the growth.
Okay. So, sir, what are the steps you are taking towards deeper geographical diversification?
Deeper as in within the state, you're saying?
No, the entire country.
I think at this AUM level, we are among the most diversified company. People tell us that, at 1,000 crore, you are too diversified, which actually increases the OpEx level. So, we are in 12 states, 163 branches with, AUM of 930 odd crore. So I think geographically, we are very, very well diversified. We can obviously, once we scale up, there are two, three more states where we can, start the branches. But I think, Tamil Nadu, we just have 10 branches. You can have immense opportunity in Tamil Nadu. So, people are disbursing, 200, 300 crore every month there. So I think, within these 12 states only, there's very large opportunity. And as I said, that we are now, going forward, trying to capture a very different set of customer, which we're not doing till now. Because, as initial years, you want to have a lower tenor because you are not getting a higher tenor. You want to keep your borrowing rate also high because your cost of borrowing is high. So I think all that is now aligning on the incremental basis. So I think on diversification, we are good.
Okay. So, sir, are you witnessing any stress or early warning signals in these areas, in these states particularly?
Nothing more than what has already happened. So now it is only on the, how to improve these areas. I think we had faced stress in Rajasthan and Haryana. So we have seen that. But I think from here on, we don't see any further, anything worse happening. It's on the positive side only. Yes, what has happened and, it will have some impact on the financials. But I think nothing beyond that.
All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshil from ABC Capital. You may proceed.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. I hope I'm audible. Just on the previous participant's question, actually, I also have a question on the operating expenses. So if I can just see your from the results, operating expenses as a percentage of AUM, which stood at around 12.8% in FY 2025, which I can see it is flat as compared to FY 2024. I just want to understand, this has seemed to taken a pause with the downward trajectory which was seen in the previous years. So I just want to understand what is the company doing, and could you elaborate any key reasons behind this pause in the OpEx reduction?
Okay. So I thought I have already answered that, but just to say that again. See, the expenses have increased because of, you know, new expansion in, you know, four new states last year, adding 63 branches, adding a lot of senior manpower. You know, if you go through our website and see the presentations, we have now functional heads which are very senior at each function level. So I mean, that has increased the cost. More importantly, the AUM has not increased. See, ultimately, you get a contribution from the AUM increase, which has not moved up. It is not that, you know, it happened only with us, but a very large part of market it happened that, you know, last year was a year of slowdown, you know, where, you know, there was focus on collection, AUM could not increase, and this is, you know, where you cannot lend, you know, forcibly. So I'm saying that it's not that, fundamentally something has changed. It is just that, AUM did not grow in line with, the amount of expansion we did. So that is why we have now, you know, with focusing on that, you know, with those limited, which is not limited per se, we have 2,000 people today. So, you know, the idea is to optimize that thing and grow the AUM. With the same number of people, grow the AUM. And so, OpEx will, you know, automatically show the result.
All right. Thank you so much for the detailed question. I have a couple of questions more. So if you can just see, we know the steady decline in both the average and marginal cost of borrowings over the past 3 years, with FY 2025 average cost of borrowings at around 13.1% and marginal cost of borrowings at around 12.3%. Could you just share some insights on the drivers behind this decline?
I think it's, we'll see that companies which 1,000, 4,000, 5,000 crore AUM, they are borrowing at between 9% and 10%. So that's fundamentally, as your scale of operations grow and, you know, as your credit rating improves, the pricing of loans decreases. And this is since inception. In the last 6 years, we first year we borrowed at 20%, and now it is at 12%. So the decline will remain continue for next 3 to 4 years, until you reach a stage wherein you are borrowing at, you know, around anywhere between 9 and 10. So it could be like 9.5, it could be 9.3. I mean, because you get better rates for the cattle portfolio, because it's a SMF portfolio. Once you have a better credit rating, you can get very good pricing for this portfolio. So I'm saying till it reaches, I mean, the average COB, which is 13% today, till it reaches at least 9.5%, even if, you know, I don't get more aggressive than that, at least till it reaches, which is a 3.5% decline, the cost will continue to decline over next, say, 3 years.
Okay. Thank you so much. Another question would be on the collection efficiency. So you've highlighted a steep improvement in the collection efficiency. Could you just elaborate on what specific measures or initiatives were taken during FY 2025 to achieve this improvement? And you also mentioned that stabilization is expected by Q1 of FY 2026. So what does the full stabilization look for you in terms of collection metrics? And also our last question would be, are there any particular geographies or product lines which are still facing stress issues on company level?
So I think, see, one is, you know, from you know, we started building up our collection, you know, infrastructure starting from September. We got some around 50, 60 collection officers as on date. It has been a slow build-up, but from 1st of February, we had a full telecallers platform. Each single customer gets a telecall, IVR, SMS. Which improved the collection efficiency, especially in 0-90 bucket. Those results have been published already. It's a very significant jump versus what happened last year. I will continue to say it has been an industry-wide stress. Any balance sheet, any presentation you see, it has been an industry-wide stress, unless someone is not having a rural exposure. That's a different ballgame altogether. Having said that, the infrastructure keeps on. In terms of 0-90 bucket, I believe that the stabilization is seen in Q1. Even the June quarter, I believe, will be as good as the March of last year, which is 2024, when we were just doing good enough. In terms of clients which have moved to 90 plus, we are building our infrastructure, appointing collection agencies, doing all. I mean, we have a very senior resource now in collections. Incrementally, we are building state-level collection team, state heads for collection. All that is coming up. Legal part is coming up. Everything is coming up. I think, especially the way we see early warning signals, we have a portfolio cut of whether these clients are paying to other customers. There is a lot of data which we have seen. I believe that even what has moved to NPA will have a very decent recovery over a period of time.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the detailed answer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, that was the last question. Thank you, management speakers, MUFG team, and everyone for joining us. On behalf of Moneybox Finance Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.